This is Break the Case with Jennifer Coffendaffer. Inside the evidence, behind the headlines, from someone who's been there. Here now, Jennifer Coffendaffer.
True Crimers, welcome to Break the Case. I'm your host. I'm Jen Coffendaffer. Thank you all so much for being here. I know it's very, very last minute, about a 15-minute warning, but had a little break in the schedule and just wanted to come on with something that it's in regard to the Celeste Rivas Hernandez case, Celeste Rivas, D4VD, however we want to style this case. This is the case of the young girl, 14 years old, that was found deceased in the front trunk, which we call the front, those of us who have Teslas, of a Tesla of David. David is a recording artist, has a huge following in social media, and he's not a rapper. He's more of a, you know, pop R&B sort. In any event, her body was found essentially in his trunk that had been parked very close to his home and then was towed because it had been there for so long, and it was reported to police, and it goes to a yard where it was towed to. The odor was so bad, police were called out, and they found remains in that front. Now, it's very interesting because initially the remains that were found, nobody knew who they were. Who were these remains? You know, who belonged? Who was in that trunk? And there was a huge outpour from the media, right? Law enforcement to the media saying, listen, we need help. We need help figuring out who this is. And of course, a tattoo that was on the right index finger that says shh with dot, dot, dot after it. Ended up being the identification point for the body, which went to Celeste Rivas Hernandez. She was a known companion, if you will, of David. Let me put up some photos here so you can see. Known companion of David. To what degree, we really don't know, unless there's pictures of them, and I've talked about this before, intimately together or discussing their intimacy between themselves or with others, but best between themselves. It's very difficult to make a sexual assault case against David if you don't have other proof just beyond people saying they were together, people saying they were intimate together, people saying they kissed together in public. Obviously, we've seen lots of pictures of them in public. Obviously, they had a relationship. I think they had an intimate relationship. But proving that is always so different. I wanted to talk about news that has recently come out. I am going to read you something from September 29th. The Los Angeles County Medical Examiner has not yet determined the cause or manner of Ms. Rivas Hernandez's death. As such, it remains unclear whether there is any criminal culpability beyond concealment of her body. Now, just for everybody, September 29th, that went out. Have you seen this sort of blowing up in the news lately? It's all over the place again. Oh, you know, they're saying that there's no criminal liability or criminal culpability other than, you know, what happened to the body afterwards. I just really had to come out and touch on this from a couple of angles. First of all, it's sickening to me that this is so downgraded now that everybody's just talking about, well, you know, whatever happened to her body, blah, blah, blah. It's really kind of infuriating from a victim advocate standpoint. This little girl was completely victimized. Now, I know I've played it before. I put it on the Twitter. We've heard her screaming and F-bombs and, you know, everything else. Was she older than her age in a lot of ways, likely? It doesn't matter. She was a little girl. She was a little girl when she was first in contact, apparently, with David that we know about, 12 years old. I've seen as young as 11. in terms of their social media interaction. Remember, David has well said that his life was social media. His world, everything he did was really social media, gaming. That was his life, and that's how he communicated, and that's how they found each other. We know from an independent source, from a teacher of Celeste Rivas, that, and there's photos that, you know, David was in the classroom, you know, whatever, meeting or picking her up. And so we know it's confirmed they had a relationship. Again, unless it was sexual in nature and law enforcement can prove that, you're not going to see charges in that realm. But I think law enforcement has their eye on something much bigger. We know that the house David was then staying at, which he no longer is at, left right after all of this broke. It was searched by law enforcement. This is just one of the photos. There, to search his house, they had to have a search warrant. They had to have probable cause to show that there would be indicia of that crime, to show they were looking for a body, for blood, for all of the things that would show that a crime could have taken place there. We now know that the crime likely did not take place there. But nevertheless, evidence was retrieved, recovered. We know that because we saw them taking it out of David's house. So in any event, this is sort of old news that has been rehashed for some reason to try to say that there's no crime here. Look, I want to go back to the basics. And this is going to be a short live. This is the actual, want to make sure I have the right one, but I'm pretty sure I put this up correctly. This is the actual photo, and it's a little dark, I'm sorry, of Celeste Rivas when she was recovered. She's in this big black trash bag in the frunk of his Tesla. This Tesla was a late model Tesla. It has the biggest frunk of all the Tesla's models. And it could hold comfortably golf clubs. Okay. And I have showed this photo before. I'm going to show it again. This is our Tesla. Our Tesla is about 2 square feet smaller. So it's a little bit smaller. In other words, I can't fit golf clubs in my Tesla because it's not long enough. In the new Tesla, the brand new Tesla, you can actually put golf clubs in there, but that's about it. I am Celeste Rivas's size. I'm 5'1.5", 110 pounds-ish, depending on how much cheesecake and peanut M&Ms I eat. But she was the same size. She was recovered. Her remains were only 70 pounds when she was recovered. But I believe that was through, at least according to what the information that was released, is they found 70 pounds worth of remains. And it was in a severe, severe case of decomposition. So obviously one's body mass, one's muscle, all of that is going to melt away and be down to almost nothing. And it was down to only 70 pounds, which is really light. When I got married, I was 95 pounds, so about 25 pounds more. Nevertheless, you can't fit a body in this frunk if it's a full body, in my opinion. Now, can you break it and can you contort it? I think that's possible. I want to go back really quick to the original news information regarding her dismembered remains, as you can see there. And you can do a lot of research on this. This was from KTLA, but the initial reporting was that from the Los Angeles Police Department was that she was dismembered. I don't know if this is true or false. All I can tell you is what was reported and the source that is named in this. And I can tell you that you just can't fit. Now, why is all of this important? By the way, this is a picture of this little bitty truck. Why this is important is this. And I'm strictly speaking from my experience And I think you could talk to anybody who has worked homicides, anybody who has worked violent crime, anybody who has worked organized crime, anybody that has been a real law enforcement officer will tell you the reason you put people in trunks and the reason you dismember them, if she was dismembered, the reason you do that is because you are hiding a crime. You are hiding criminal activity. Why are you stuffing them in a black plastic bag and secreting them in a frunk, shutting the door, and likely there for certainly weeks, we know for sure, and maybe even months since the last pictures that we know of her, at least through reporting, were clear back in January, and a new car was acquired February 1st. So again, it's possible she could have been dead all of those months. Why does somebody do that? Some could argue, well, maybe she OD'd. Maybe she tripped and fell and hit her head. Maybe. But typically, in most instances, unless there's some sort of criminal liability for what has happened to this girl, you don't take them, squish them all up, or dismember them, throw them in this black plastic bag, and throw them in a trunk and go on tour. And I'm not saying he threw her in the trunk. We don't know who it is. Maybe it was part of his entourage. Maybe it was his other friends that we've seen many photos of. What I can tell you, and this is 100% accurate. Can't say it's 100% accurate in this case, but I could say it's 100% accurate in terms of the majority of cases. The reason you hide bodies in trunks is because you have been involved in killing them or murdering them, and you're trying to hide it. Now, this is the question, and this is what law enforcement is saying. They said it back in September. They're reiterating this. This is nothing new. This is not mind-blowing information that they don't have, you know, that there was no crime here. This is just saying, do they have enough to prove it? There's three things going on right now. A forensic entomologist is looking at all the bugs that they found when they found her, because believe me, there were all of these microscopic and other bugs just destroying her body. And the reason I say this so bluntly is because this is a desecration of the body. This isn't just a, you know, didn't appropriately bury the body. What they did to Celeste is so criminal, so heinous, so disgusting. Imagine somebody doing that to somebody you loved. Either dismembering her or otherwise crunching her all up to fit in this teeny little area. Like I said, you guys can look it up. I think it's the latest Tesla Model X, and it literally can fit golf clubs. It cannot fit a full grown human. The problem is the width and everything. It can, if you can crunch them, you know, somebody my size, if you actually crunched or, you know, broke my bones and crunched me all in there, you could do it. But that's what somebody did to her. They either dismembered her or they crunched her in there. That's just common sense. And they left her there. But anyway, this forensic entomologist is going to be able to determine a lot in terms of timing. But takes a long time. Second, you have a forensic anthropologist that's going to be looking not at bugs, but at all of the decay and her skin and everything to do with what remains to try to determine what could have happened to her. Obviously, it's not going to be anything like the forensic anthropologist that looked at Brian Laundrie. Now, remember Brian Laundrie, who murdered Gabby Petito, he He was found 5 weeks later, but in a swamp, in a horrible state of decay. There was nothing left of him, really, except a skull, a mandible. I mean, very little, almost nothing left of him. But they could see the gunshot wound. Oh, sorry. It was in this side of his head, even though he's right-handed. That's a whole nother story. We've talked about that a lot. And so they could tell by the fracturing of the skull, the forensic anthropologist could tell he died of a gunshot wound. So we don't have anything that is that obvious in this situation, a gunshot wound to her head. So it's taking more time. So the entomologist, the anthropologist, and then toxicology. I believe toxicology is back. I believe it was back a while back. We're just not getting to hear about the toxicology. This would be a very high priority case. Although all these women who show up in trunks and in garbage bags and in trash bins, because we're talking Los Angeles. This is not unique. I remember the first day I covered this, so many people are like, oh my gosh, yeah, it's just another, you know, whatever, runaway or somebody who ended up in a trunk. And that's the sad reality. There are so many young girls all throughout our country that are found in a similar state. And normally it wouldn't be a big deal other than David, this, I'd never even heard of him. I've asked my kids who are this age, they've never even heard of him. I don't think he was this huge star. He's much more of a star now. If you see downloads and things pertaining to him, his footprint is huge now because of this case. But certainly the notoriety of him being somewhat of a, you know, musician and, you know, doing concerts and being somewhat of a star certainly has the focus on this. So you can bet law enforcement is going to make sure they have this together. I want to leave you all with this. Oh, so by the way, on the toxicology, do I think that if they were able to determine toxicology, which they should be able to, obviously there were going to be no organs left, but in her hair, I think they'll be able to determine some toxicological facts. Do I think it's going to involve likely substances? Yes. Do I think that complicates what happens to her, what happened to her considering the situation she's found in? Yes. In other words, say she was found with nothing. There's no trace of any substances in her. That would knock off the possibility of an overdose. But likely toxicology did not come back well for her in terms of for law enforcement trying to figure out what happened to her. And so that toxicology likely complicates the situation. But nevertheless, we have the entomologist, we have the anthropologist, and we have the toxicologist that are all going to be important to figuring it out. They just don't have all that yet. I want to leave you with this. For those of you who follow the Suzanne Morphew case, which I need to do much more on that. This was a woman that many believed or believe that her husband, Barry Morphew, killed her with a tranquilizer gun. The facts are overwhelming. The initial affidavit, overwhelming. But there was, unfortunately, misconduct done by the prosecutor, which caused the prosecutor to lose her job, which caused the case to be tabled, not thrown out, just tabled until more evidence. Then in 2023, Suzanne Morphew's body, by the grace of God, was found. That gave so much more evidence. And guess how long it took from the time Suzanne Morphew's body was found so that they could make a link up with the with this tranquilizer that was found and other details that could help prove that she was murdered by Barry Morphew. Again, this hasn't gone to trial, but that's the accusation. Guess how long? 21 months, everyone. 21 months from finding that severely decomposed body of Suzanne Morphew until they press charges against Barry Morphew. And they had a lot going into it. I mean, they've got surveillance footage. They've got this tranquilizer that he bought. They have the gun. They have so much against Barry Morphy before they found the body. But even after that, 21 months to charge. My point is this. Don't buy all the sensational crap going on that this is some big epiphany by law enforcement. It's not an epiphany. They made it back in September, and they're going to keep saying it until they're able to prove a case. They're waiting on a lot of biological and scientific information, plus everything else they're looking at, interviews. I can't even imagine how much video they're going to have to go through. It's really the tip of the iceberg on a case like this. Unfortunately, it's not the forensic files. Unfortunately, cases are not done in an hour. They're done in months and years. And that's just the hard fact and reality when a body is in the situation that Celeste's body was in. I'm going to leave you with a picture of her. So we're just at the beginning. Do I think they'll make a case? I don't know, because I didn't get to see the body and I haven't seen the tox anthropology report or the entomology report, which I don't even think are even done yet. So much to do in this case. It's going to take months. I think it's just trying to be sensational, keeping stuff out there. Everybody wants to know. Everybody wants justice for Celeste, I think. She's so indicative of so many other runaways that end up dead that nobody ever cares about. People really don't. It's a fact. I'm really on top of this case. I want to tell you guys about that. I hope you start following. I want to make sure I have all the exact details right. I've been following it now for a couple of days. But this young girl's name is Kenaya Jennings. Now, Kenaya Jennings, again, missing. She was in the company of another man, and that man's name was Blake Patrick. He ended up stealing a buddy's car and gets arrested. They find the car, they find Blake Patrick, but they don't find Kenaya. She's still missing. I just have terrible feeling about that case. I'm hoping that she turns up. I'm hoping that it'll all be okay and that they were just somehow connected for a short amount of time and that she has run away and doesn't want to be found. I'm hoping that that's the case. But that's a case I'm really tracking, and we'll see. But so many of these cases that we start with, if they're not found in the first 48 hours, sadly, so often they end up dead or trafficked. And that's just a fact. I just went to hear Tim Tebow speak. It was amazing. He threw me a football. It was great. it was great. And he is doing so much in the area of human trafficking. I'm hoping to have him on the show. I asked him if he could please, and his assistant and I have been in contact. I'm hoping he will take about 20 minutes to come and talk about the amazing work he's doing. Everyone, he is the real deal. He has two foundations. He has one for profit and one not for profit. But it's the real deal. They work worldwide. They're entrenched with law enforcement. They use AI in a manner that I had never even heard of. Of course, I'm not an AI guru. That was not my background, as is obvious. But it's so amazing. And I hope he ends up coming on here and speaking to you all. Because he's amazing what he's doing in the world of human trafficking throughout the world. And So I just wanted to say that Celeste Rivas is really, in such a sense, no different. Can we consider her traffic? Maybe. Was she passed around? Maybe. Were other people involved with her in a sinister way? I wouldn't doubt it. Do I think she just died, tripped and fell and banged her head, or, you know, just smoked weed and was laced with something like fentanyl and killed her? Maybe. I doubt it. People don't secrete people in frunks of vehicles unless they're trying to hide something. Could they have panicked and just done it? Anything's possible. Nobody's coming out and saying anything, at least that we know of. You can bet law enforcement is all over this and all over these interviews. I just hope nobody gets their nose in it and messes it up. Let law enforcement do their job. Again, it took 21 months to get Barry Morphew, but I think law enforcement has a good chance of getting somebody's going to talk. Multiple people knew about that, her being in there. I don't think David did this on his own without anyone else having knowledge. And don't get disheartened when law enforcement says, right now, this is all we have. Because what law enforcement means is, this is all we have that we can prove, but it doesn't mean that this is all we're looking at. And to say, I know they've said David isn't a suspect. Well, he's not a suspect that they're going to come out and say he's a suspect right now. But you can bet all of those people, David, all the people within his circle are certainly suspects, meaning they're being looked at. They're being looked at, evaluated, and then either they are removed from the area of focus of law enforcement because law enforcement doesn't think they're involved, or they're rising in terms of factual information that is implicating them. All right, I just had to come out because I was seeing all this, and I was like, people, this is the same thing they've been saying, and they're going to keep saying it until they have more information. Don't give up hope. I haven't given up hope. I know how long it takes. And believe me, as the holidays come and everything, these investigators and these people, they have lives. I know nobody wants to hear this, but they have lives, and they have other cases. And I mean, their workload, nobody in this police department that's working this case in this homicide division, no one has just one case. I assure you of that. They have multiple cases. Sometimes we had 100 cases. Sometimes the VICMO guys had 500 cases because you counted bank robberies and things that you couldn't close out and so on and so forth. You know, it's no. Is it a manageable caseload? No. Do you want to keep about 20 to 50 cases on your books that you try to work and try to get done? Yes. And you're constantly, so while Celeste Rivas is so important and in the spotlight for all of us, these detectives have multiple cases, multiple Celeste Rivas's, multiple horrible, tragic homicides that they're working in conjunction or simultaneous, I mean, with the Celeste Rivas case. Don't give up hope. The anthropologists, entomologists, toxicologists, they're all working it. And we just have to have more patience. That's a fact. All right, everyone. Until next time, no one stuffs people in a trunk unless something, they're hiding something. Period. All right, back to reality. Until next time, everybody, may justice be served. Thanks for being here.
Want to break the case with Jennifer Coffendaffer even more? Then press subscribe right now and join Jen on YouTube. Just search Break the Case with Jennifer Coffendaffer now.